How do you do? Why do people gamble, taking chances when the odds are against them? The man in the story knows why he gambled. He wanted attention because he felt unwanted. He lost more than he won until he took the biggest risk of his life, one that turned out to be a sure thing when his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Did the doctor look at Floyd today?
Yes, he has infantile paralysis.
Polio? And I'll bet little Joey had it too.
What are we going to do? I don't want to lose another son.
Where is he?
He's quarantined.
It's for the best.
Oh, if we lose Floyd, I don't know what I'll do.
Bringing hope to a troubled world, this is Unshackled. True life stories, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. To a homeless person who piles up leaves for a bed, a real bunk with a pillow is the height of luxury. To sleep between clean sheets and wake up to a hearty breakfast can stir up the desire for change. That's why Pacific Garden Mission welcomes each guest, providing shelter to more than 800 men, women, and children each day. Fresh clothing, as well as medical and dental treatment, are also available without charge, thanks to caring friends who send financial and material gifts. The mission offers classes and counseling to improve their ability to function in the world. Pastors and counselors share the truth that will set them free of past failures, and that same message goes out to the world in 10 languages through this program. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3068 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Floyd? You better get home right now, you hear? Floyd!
Is he gone again?
Oh, yes, he took off when I wasn't paying attention.
Well, hard to believe. We used to worry about him not being able to walk again.
Now he runs away every chance he gets. I even tried hiding his shoes, but he ran off barefoot.
A five-year-old shouldn't be out after dark.
Try telling that to him.
I'm not telling him anything anymore. I'm going to beat his behind when he gets back. And then I'm going to get a dog chain with a padlock. See if he runs away again.
Why would a five-year-old run away from home? Turns out it was the same reason he ran off at 25, but with different results. This is the true testimony of Floyd Plum, right now from the classic files of Unshackled.
I was 4 when I contracted polio and lost my speech. It returned with a stutter. We were very poor, no friends, no toys. So I started running away at 5. My parents tried to keep me home, but as soon as they removed the dog chain, I was gone again. Rowdy companions taught me to smoke cigarette butts we picked off the ground. I spent 2 years in second grade because I was too sleepy and too ornery to care. We moved around as Dad took various jobs. In Michigan, a train dispatcher took an interest in me, got me to quit smoking, and I did better in school. Then, we moved again.
Where's that son of mine now?
I don't know. He was here right after school. Said they put him back in third grade, and he was real upset.
Well, it's where he belongs. He just finished second grade. Twice.
But he told them he was in fourth grade.
And they believed him.
He was doing better, honey. Even you noticed. He wasn't stuttering as much. And he was home at night more. Now he's ashamed and doesn't even want to try. You going out to look for him?
No, I'm going to go shoot some pool. I'll keep an eye out for him.
Maybe if Dad hadn't spent so much time in pool halls and card rooms, we wouldn't have been so poor. My parents quit trying to keep me home when I was 10. We moved from Michigan back to Defiance, Ohio, where a gang of boys welcomed me with a fight. My opponent nearly broke my jaw, but I got even with the baseball bat and became one of them. I set pins in a bowling alley until 11, then played poker with friends, staying out until midnight or even 2 o'clock in the morning. When I was 11, my dad tried to help me.
Floyd, stop right where you are. Straighten up. You walk all hunched over. Yes, you can. Now throw out your chest. Go on. That's better.
Do you...
Stop right there. Anytime you talk and start stuttering, stop. Don't try to say another word because you'll only get worse. You understand?
Yes.
Don't hurry. Each time you stutter, go back and start all over again, but take it slower. Now, what did you want to ask me?
I want to you to help me find some old skates. I want to make a scooter.
See? That time you said it much better.
I liked all sports and could out-wrestle most boys my age. My favorite was pitching horseshoes, and I became an expert. But I was very insecure and bluffed to cover my feelings of inferiority. When I was 11, my aunt and uncle invited me to spend the summer on their farm. They were very religious.
Did you understand what we read in the Bible this morning, Floyd?
I think so.
Well, you come to God in humility. You know what humility is?
I think so.
It's the opposite of pride. You acknowledge that He's God, and you're not. Oh, I'm serious. Most people think they control their own lives. They don't realize that it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. They get away with doing bad things and think it's okay. But someday we must give an account to God for our lives, the way we used the talent He gave us.
I don't have any talents, except horseshoes.
Oh, you have more. You just haven't discovered them yet. The Bible says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." But, and this is important, first you have to come to God in repentance and ask Him to save you. And that's where most people stumble. They can't get past their pride. Do you ever read the Bible?
I tried once, but I can't understand it.
Well, keep trying. God's word is truth, and you'll have a much better life if you follow Jesus. Okay?
Okay.
The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast."
I was interested, but I thought I couldn't do what he wanted me to do. My dad stayed on me about stuttering and walking tall. I overcame the stutter unless I was excited. By the age of 13, I was like other boys my age. That same year, I got drunk for the first time, and whenever I drank, I got mean. At 15, I was helping my brother-in-law paint a barn when the ladder slipped, and I fell 40 feet.
Oh, they called and told me about the accident.
Yeah, I thought for sure I was going to die.
Oh, thank God you're okay.
The doc said I'll be on crutches for a while.
It could have been a lot worse, son. What happened?
I had scaffold hooks, pulleys, and ropes over my shoulder, and just as I got over the hip of the barn, the ladder slipped. It hit the ground feet first, and then I hit my face.
Oh, I can see you're all bruised up. Oh, I was praying for you about the time you fell. Somehow I felt the need to pray for you. God is merciful. You might have been killed.
During that fall to the ground, I knew I was headed for hell. But as my body healed, I put those thoughts behind me. I stayed on course, getting drunk, constantly in trouble at school, playing hooky and pranks. I spent 3 years in the seventh grade, and the principal paddled me many times. But I also played football and baseball. Just before final exams, when I was 16, I was expelled from the school system. The next 4 years, I found and quit many jobs. At 20, I met Mildred, and we dated for 4 months, and then we decided to marry. Bad news, Millie. I was laid off at the factory today.
Oh no! Our wedding's in 2 weeks. Do you think we should call it off?
No, we're getting married.
Some wedding present, huh?
Yeah. You know, I'll have to sell my new car and pay off the loan. I can buy a used one.
Can we afford to get an apartment?
Not unless I find another job.
Well, we can live with my folks for a while.
Well, mine too, but that'll get old fast.
I'll pray that you get another job soon, Floyd.
Well, I'm glad you're religious, Millie. You're like my mom, but I'm not into that church stuff.
Work was scarce after we married in late July. We lived with Mildred's folks for a while, and then mine. I worked odd jobs, but the depression got worse, and jobs are even harder to find. Our son was born 2 years after we married, but I still drank and gambled with the little money I made when I worked. Playing checkers was free, so I played until I was sick of it. One night, I had a paycheck and played poker for money, hoping to score.
The ace bets.
All right.
Everyone going to stay in for another card?
Come on, you guys.
The ace still looks good. What are you going to do?
That's what I'm going to do.
I'll see that. And I'll raise it.
Mighty thoughtful of you.
I'm kind-hearted. I want to give you a chance.
Let's see how good a chance, huh?
What you got, kid?
Enough to win the pot. Aces full of tens.
Good hand,
<Yeah. laughs>
but not good enough. Look at this.
Huh? I don't believe it.
You don't believe there's four kings in every deck? Sorry, kid. That didn't take long, did it?
I lost my whole paycheck and came home drunk. I even tried to give our 2-year-old son some beer. Mildred and I got into an argument about it, and I choked her. Guilt dogged me after that, making me even more angry. Mildred went to live with her parents for several months, and I moved in with Mom and Dad. But Dad was unemployed, too. One night, he and I got into a terrible fight, and he stormed out of the house.
Your dad didn't want to have a fist fight with you, so he's going to your sister's place.
Well, let him walk 5 miles. I don't care.
Floyd, the Bible says honor your father and mother. That doesn't mean yelling at your dad that way.
He yelled at me, didn't he? Anyway, who cares what the Bible says?
It's God's word, son.
God's word? Don't you know there is no God?
Floyd, please.
Floyd, please. Yeah, the Bible was written by men to keep people under their thumbs, huh? It's all a myth. Adam and Eve in the garden, the flood.
I believe all that, son, along with everything else that's written in the Bible.
Then you're nuts. Men came from monkeys, you know.
Floyd, we were made in the image of God, not animals. Animals have always been animals, and we've always been humans.
I don't want to hear that. I hate my life. I'm leaving, and I'm not coming back.
Mom didn't say anything, but her quietness pierced my heart. I left taking everything that was mine, which wasn't much. I wrote to an uncle who was a minister and told him I needed a change of life. But he didn't invite me to come because he and Dad had been at odds for years. He wrote, however, with this advice: "The day you don't feel like praying is the day you should pray." I sat alone and miserable in a pool hall, ashamed of what I'd become.
Very shortly, we'll hear the rest of Floyd's story. One of our listeners recently sent this email. "I'm interested in paying for a homeless person to have his teeth pulled. He's suffering from a horrible toothache, and I would like to help him." We applaud the kind of love that seeketh not her own, love that prompted Pacific Garden Mission to open a medical and dental clinic decades ago. There we see the same kind of neglect among the homeless, and we treat their ailments without charge. Our staff doctor and nurses, augmented by volunteer dentists and doctors, treat as many as 400 patients a month, everything from asthma and diabetes to heart problems. Our new facility has 6 examination rooms and 2 dental treatment areas. God uses the staff to share the good news of God's love that can change their lives. For more information about this ministry, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
2 months after my fight with Dad, I sat in that grubby pool room and examined myself. A thought came to me. You've tried other things and failed. Now try God. Oh, but how? I was so bad God wouldn't want me. Even so, I was determined, so I went to see my wife.
Are you drunk, Floyd?
No.
What did you want to see me about?
Will you go with me to Toledo?
What's in Toledo?
A church I want to go to.
You were never much interested in church.
Yeah, this one's different.
How'd you hear about it?
Well, two of my aunts live there, and they keep talking to me about it. I've heard the preacher on the radio, too.
Well, it's a long way to go for church.
Oh, I want to change my life, honey. And I hear that this church helps you do that. A man I met last year told me people get saved all the time.
You won't give our little boy beer again, will you?
No, honey, I told you, I want to change.
Why don't you read the Bible, then?
I can't read, Millie. I don't even know most of the words. Please, go with me.
How are you going to get there? It's 80 miles to Toledo.
I bought this touring car. It'll get us there.
Where can we stay when we get there?
I have family there.
All right. We'll go with you.
Even though my wife was expecting again, we set out for Toledo on a cold day in March. My touring car had no side windows, so it was cold. Today, it would be worth a fortune. Then it was just transportation. First, the radiator froze up, so I thawed it and filled it with water again. I had enough money for only 1 gallon of gas to go 80 miles. I sure hope there's a good long slope from the top of this hill.
What good's that going to do, Floyd?
Save us some gas, I hope. We'll use enough going up the hill. At least we can save some going back down. When we get over the top, I'm going to shut off the engine and let her coast.
And that'll save gas.
If the slope is a long one. Let's see. It is. Here we go.
What kind of welcome do you think they'll give us in Toledo?
To be honest, they might tell us to turn around and get out.
Why?
Because they know me.
What'll we do then?
I don't know, Mildred.
You're down to 20 miles an hour, honey. Might as well start the engine.
No, not until she's down to 5 miles an hour. I've got to get to Toledo.
Floyd! Behind you!
We got to the outskirts of Toledo on the fumes of gasoline and coasted into a gas station a mile from our destination. There, I traded a lock and key for a gallon of gas, and we headed out again. A couple of blocks away, smoke began pouring out from under the hood of the car.
Oh, stop the car, Floyd. It might explode.
There's only a gallon of gas in it. That isn't much.
Oh, can you believe it? We're right in front of a fire station.
Yeah, oh, and here comes a fireman.
Well, we don't normally give curb service, but the boils will be right out with extinguishers. You raise the hood.
God was with us, providing every need. The firemen quenched the fire, fixed the short, and we drove to my relative's house. They knew about my past, but welcomed us anyway, because God had touched their hearts. I wanted God to change me more than I'd ever wanted anything before, and that night I prayed. God, I want my life to change, but I don't know how. Please show me the way. If you give me directions, I promise to accept your truth. The following Sunday night, we went to the church my aunts had told me about. My dear mother had taken me to church several times, but never had I heard preaching like this.
People talk about searching for God, but God's not lost. You are.
Amen.
In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Oh, yeah. We lost our relationship with God in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned by disobedience. Oh, yeah. The prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 59, verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." You are lost.
Amen.
You can't approach God with all those sins on your soul.
No, sir.
He is holy. He dwells in light, and you dwell in darkness. Uh-huh. The Bible says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one."
Oh, yeah.
Just as he promised, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to light the darkness, to show the way back to him. The Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. But men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
Oh, yes.
God came looking for you. What a savior. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Oh, yes.
My friends, Christ died for your sins, not his.
Right.
He lived a sinless life because he was the Son of God. If he could humble himself like that, you can humble yourself by coming forward to ask his forgiveness.
Amen.
Trust him.
Amen.
I went to the altar and my wife came too. Some ladies offered to hold our son, but I wanted God's blessing on him too. At the altar I prayed, repenting of my sins and asking Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. He gave me instant peace and joy, as well as direction. Oh, but I had much to learn. They gave me a pamphlet that contained the Gospel of John. I began trying to read it with a dictionary. A week later, I visited some worldly friends, and I yielded to the temptation to drink with them. I felt horrible because I failed the Lord. That night, I repented. Lord, forgive me for taking that drink. I want so much to follow you, Jesus. Help me to be strong and to resist temptations. Please change me. My aunt gave me a Bible and encouraged me in the Lord, but I still had no job and the depression was getting harder. We stayed with relatives on the outskirts of Toledo while I searched for work. I'd get up at 4 in the morning, and having no gas for the car, I walked to town singing in the garden. By evening, I was tired and decided to walk to my relatives.
And he walks with me, and he talks with me.
Can you tell me where the Stewart building is?
I don't know, but I know you, Bill. You teach Sunday school at my aunt's church.
Sure do. I know you, Floyd. What happened? Let me give you a ride. Oh, I was glad to see you at the prayer meeting this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go every week. God sent you along, Bill. I was feeling a little discouraged.
Yeah, these are tough times. Are you reading the Bible?
Yes, I have a hard time understanding it all, but I finished the Gospel of John.
Well, good. The Lord will guide you.
Amen. You know, I have joy and peace, but there's so much I don't know.
Well, God says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Amen. Tell me something, Bill. What happens if I sin again?
The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Oh, that's a relief.
You're saved once and for all when you're born again. Jesus is your sufficiency. It's not only new life, Floyd. It's a new way of life, trusting and obeying him.
I read the Bible every night after looking for a job all day. I finished the New Testament in 3 months. One day I applied at a rubber plant. The manager said he needed a good mill man, and because I had experience in a mill back in Defiance, he hired me. I worked there 3 years, even though we had periodic layoffs. Our daughter was born and we got our own apartment. During one layoff, I went back to see the boss.
Are you looking for work, Floyd?
Sure am.
Well, you're a good worker, but the men don't like the way you talk about your religion. After all, they're religious too.
They complain?
Not in so many words. Don't get me wrong, Floyd. We do like your work, but we don't want you to talk about religion on the job.
I would sooner walk the streets than stop talking about the Lord. Jesus is the eternal Son of the living God.
Well, come to work in the morning.
A few years later, he let me hold Bible study with the men. When I was laid off again, I resumed my habit of looking for work in the morning and then coming home to read the Bible and pray every evening. A neighbor lady noticed and talked to Mildred about it.
She thinks you're strange.
Because I talked to her about the Lord?
No, because you don't stay out all day looking for a job.
God will provide. I've done my part, and I'm trusting the Lord to help me.
She said, if I had a husband that would sit and read the Bible and pray every evening, I'd boot him out, because nobody is going to bring a job to your front door.
You never know, honey. Who was at the door? Somebody offering me a job at a manufacturing plant. That same day, our neighbor's husband was laid off from his job. So, never doubt God's provision for his children. I bought a dump truck and started a business, working 10 or 12 hours a day until my debts were paid. Then I sold the truck. But one debt that I could never have paid was for my sin. Only Jesus could pay that debt by his death on the cross for me.
Floyd and Mildred had three sons, two of whom were pastors and one a missionary in Africa. Two daughters also served the Lord in their churches. Recently, we had an email from his grandson asking for copies of the original drama, so we decided to redo Floyd's story as a classic to demonstrate the power of godliness passing down through the generations. This power is available to you, listening friend. The Bible promises in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. To begin your new life in Christ, pray with us. Dear God, I confess that I am a lost sinner and cannot save myself. I repent of my sins against you. I believe Jesus died for my sins on the cross. I believe he rose again and lives forevermore. Thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you for saving me. Come into my heart and life, Lord Jesus, and change me. In your name I pray. Amen. Let us know you prayed. We'll send you some helpful literature. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. A listener emailed us, I tell everyone about this program. We hope that includes the manager of this station. He or she would like to know that you look forward to hearing these true stories. That will ensure that you'll keep hearing Unshackled. This is program number 3068, heard in the classic true story of Floyd Plum, where Steve Bayorgin, Trish Elliott, Guy Bareil, Mara Kate Burns, Don Ferris, and Daryl Schultz. The original music, Ralph Colburn, sound, Nick Aloisio. The engineer was Don Badorf. The script by Kenitha Gabler and Jack O'Dell. I'm Don Stroop. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter brightens our day. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.